numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland in the hizzy right here at Bar Canada at the D. And let me correct myself. I was mistaken. Alcaraz did not break back on Tiafoe. Tiafoe wins the third set. He's up. Big T, Francis Tiafoe, up 2-1, two sets to one on Carlos Alcaraz at Wimbledon. So that is a developing situation. And, of course, Daria Kasatkina, once breaking, Paula Badosa could not hold her serve. So she got broken back by Badosa. Then it was on serve. And now two break points for Kasatkina again. Women's tennis is happening.
She could not consolidate?
She could not consolidate.
That remembered it this time.
Kelly,
remembered
it. You're my guy.
It only takes you bringing up something 16 times I remember it.
Thank you very much. By the way, I won a tiebreaker in the Nakashima match. Is that allowed?
You're on fire.
Is that allowed? I'm not sure that's permitted. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Velika joins us. He is the Bear. You may know him from his Bear Bets podcast, which he does with a tons of guests, including Jeff Schwartz, Will Hill, Sammy P, and just a cast of thousands. He does it all year round, different sports. You might find him on Fox doing horse racing. He does it all. It's Chris Velika, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. Enjoyed my 4th of July holiday out here in L.A. I figured if I wasn't going to be at home with family and friends, I would make the 35-minute drive up to Portillo's there from the hotel. I had myself a nice little chili dog and hot dog with mustard. Kelly, what are you doing, man? Kelly.
There we go.
Yeah, but you had a chili dog. See, that's where we're talking next level.
Yeah, I had a chili dog one, and then I had dog with onions and mustard on the other one. It's like, I can't do ketchup on hot dogs, man. That's my wife does it, but it's like, seriously, come on.
Oh yeah, I'm a ketchup. I can't do mustard. I can't stand any mustard. And don't tweet at me, don't text me, even honey mustard. That's the one that cracks me up the most. Apparently that's like sweet and sour sauce. I'm supposed to like that.
This match is gonna kill me. All right, Chris, let's talk soccer. Copa America. Last night, Argentina gets by Ecuador, barely. Yep. Ecuador ties them in added time, almost won it in added time, had an amazing opportunity that did not get home. And then, despite Messi hitting the crossbar for the first penalty kick, they still win. Argentina still wins via penalty kick over Ecuador. So they advance in the Copa America quarterfinals. They're the first to advance. Any thoughts on Copa America moving forward? Obviously, Venezuela-Canada is the match tonight, trying to determine who takes on Argentina in the first semi.
Yeah, I got a couple of thoughts. I tonight, if you want to look specifically for tonight's match, I can't see many, if any, goals at all in this Canada-Venezuela match. Nil-nil, like plus 600 is very intriguing. This is a Canada side that they played 11-on-10 for a very large portion of two matches. In the group stage, and they only managed to score one goal. So I think this is there are two teams here where both look at the other sideline and be like, hey, we have an opportunity here to get to the semifinal and play Argentina, who may not be as invincible as people may have thought. So I would look at draw. I would look at nil-nil. I would look at under 2.5 goals. That as well as a team that hasn't conceded more than one goal but once in 17 matches. So this is not going to be a high-scoring match here tonight between Venezuela and Canada. And then on the other side, I don't get it. Like, I don't see anything that's happened in this competition so far that suggests that Brazil, without Vini Jr., by the way, should be favored to advance over Uruguay. Uruguay just beat them 2-0 in World Cup qualifying. Brazil hasn't even scored in half of their last six international matches. Uruguay has been a team that has not allowed very good shot quality with some of the metrics that we have access to here covering the tournament. I like Uruguay to advance here. You can get a better – they're like minus 105 or so is the number. But Brazil – is not look good. They're weak on defense. I would take a look maybe at a shot prop with with Darwin Nunez as well. Maybe three or more shots, I think, is like right around minus like 135 or so. He's definitely gonna fire tonight. Tomorrow, I should say. So I would look at Uruguay to advance and look at a Darwin Nunez shot prop there in Copa.
Nothing on Colombia, Panama.
I would probably look at Colombia halftime, full time. I think Colombia has scored a first half goal now. It's like seven straight matches. Panama is the worst team left, so they're fortunate to be here. I would look at Colombia halftime, full time.
Okay, who wins Copa America in your opinion?
I think the team that survives on the right hand side of the bracket, whether Uruguay or Colombia, I think ultimately will win. I've seen enough from Argentina squandering their chances and leaving teams and matches to think that when they face a really good team here, it ultimately will come back and get them. So I know it's a half-hearted answer, but I do think the survivor amongst Uruguay and Colombia, I think that will be the team that wins.
Okay, not a believer in Argentina taking it down.
No,
okay,
I'm not.
All right, Colombia, Panama, and Uruguay, Brazil tomorrow, Venezuela, Canada tonight. Then there is Euros 2024, and this is where it gets really serious. And these matches today are just absolutely...
I love it. I'm so excited.
Oh, these are just... You couldn't hope for better matchups today. Spain-Germany right after the show today, so about 54 minutes away. And then Portugal-France a little later on. Let's talk about each. What about the first one, Spain-Germany?
I did not play anything in this match just because while I think Spain are the best team in the tournament, you do have a little bit of concern that home field, crowd, huge advantage might bolster Germany. And the way Julian Nagelsmann, the German coach, has been talking, like, he almost has this, like, outward confidence right now about, yeah, well, Spain, they really aren't very, very experienced. And Lamal and Nico Williams, they're young. Like, I think he feels pretty good about his side heading into this match. It probably won't be a high-scoring game. Spain is another team that really do not concede. They're so good in the midfield with Rodri, and they have the youth on the outside to attack. Push comes to shove, I would say Spain advances, but I've not made a wager on this one.
Not
the second match.
Yeah. No. What about Portugal France then? You said yes.
I played France to win 1-0. I played France to win 2-0, and I played under 2.5 goals. This is a French side that it seems like every single knockout round match they play under Didier Deschamps is the same thing. And I was joking with Jules Brich and Peter Schmeichel and Daniel Sturridge the other day, like literally like 5 minutes before the own goal against Belgium. I was like, man, it feels like Belgium has a goal in them right here. And Belgium are on the verge. And I'm like, and sure enough, like it felt like that again. And France looks terrible, and then the fifth minute or whatever it was, here's a goal hitting off of someone, or they just managed to win 1-0, and I can see that being the same case here. Portugal was very fortunate to get past Slovenia. They're a team that hasn't scored in 210 minutes since the opening match against Turkey. So, like, I think they're going to struggle against France, who probably will have a good bit of the ball. They'll try for a good bit of the ball, I should say. Portugal certainly will. Try to break down that defense, but their defense is so good. They're comfortable absorbing pressure. They're comfortable absorbing shots. Teo Hernandez has been fantastic. Saliba has been fantastic. So, yeah, I played 1-0 France at plus 425, 2-0 France at plus 800, and under 2.5 goals, just because I can see this France knockout round script just continuing playing out that way again.
Was it some tweet that we saw yesterday where they were like, oh, a lot of players we respect are taking Portugal, and you were kind of like, come on.
I get it, but yeah, the play that you want to make is you want to play a side that hasn't scored in 210 minutes against a team that's comfortable playing a defensive match. Like I don't see it. Like to win that's the thing, to win in 90 minutes. To win in regulation, that's the part of it that I can't see. Like Portugal winning in regulation would be like the least likely surprise here, or the least likely result that I could. Could they win in extra time? Could they win in kicks? Sure, But by the way, Madison Keys has just beat Marta Kosma, by the way. So,
and by
one of our to reach the final there, bet is
yeah. Well, Kasatkina was up 4-2, and guess what? She's 2 points away from losing now. So,
all right,
yeah. It's unbelievable. If it can go wrong, I can get you right to the finish line, and then it's unbelievable, this tournament, and this stretch. Okay.
Well, I guess if Steph lost yesterday, then Badosa has to be the one half of the relationship.
She has to lose too,
right?
What about Netherlands, Turkey, or England, Switzerland tomorrow? Anything?
Yes. Switzerland to advance at +135. Just like Brazil, I said, there's nothing in the tournament to suggest that England, outside of the whole ridiculous, oh, it's coming home in the brand of England, to suggest that England should be favored in this match. Of the teams that made the quarterfinals, they averaged 3 shots on goal, which is the fewest of any of the 8 teams. Switzerland has gotten goals from 7 different players who all accounted for Switzerland's 7 goals. They are deep. They got a great goalkeeper on Jan Sommer. And England, they're probably going to be down Kieran Trippier in the back. They're down Mark Gahey in the back, and Luke Shaw probably still isn't available. I've heard reports that they're practicing with like 3 center backs on the back line. Maybe Saka moves to left back. Like, I just don't like the direction for England. I like Switzerland to advance, and then in the other match, Cody Gakpo, anytime goal scorer, +135 for the Netherlands. Turkey has the guys suspended, and they look.
The audio survived till the last moments. We'll repeat that on the other side, just to clarify what Chris's last play was. We'll come back. NFL most wins for the season. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. Up 4-2 in the third. Daria Kasatkina chokes it away. So there goes our 22-1 for her to reach the final. And there goes the 100-1 anyway on her facing Swiatek. 4-2 up a break. And I said, what could go wrong? Because believe me, if it can, I have found it.
You said it. We said it.
It's
you
brutal.
Said it during the break, man.
It's brutal.
Like you never get distracted by this stuff too on the shows.
Never.
And, like it's
it's relentless.
Yeah. You need 48 hours off, I think.
Dude, I can't win a breaker, right? Can't. You're up. How many? Remember that one week where I was like 5-2, third set happened 4 days in a row.
You were texting me with every one of them. I was like,
This is like in terms of being in like win probability position and then still losing, never had a stretch like this in my life. It's incredible.
Ugh, it's brutal, man.
It's just brutal.
I'm sitting here just surprised seeing you even affected by it because it is you are so good. Yeah, compartmentalizing
that. After it happens consecutively, like relentlessly over and over, where your player. By the way, yesterday we had a dog that was about to be up 2-1, Lucas Pui. Right, +165 dog. We're on our way. Tanasi Kokkinakis, he quits. So unless you had it at a one set shop, you don't win that. So it's pick a way to not get home, right? And it happens. And then of course, conversely, we
need Sir Allen Iverson out there.
Conversely, I had Alina Avanesyan. 3 games in, she's like, oh, I need a medic. My wrists are done. So I'm like, okay, well, quit. So at least we can make up for this. Of course, she doesn't quit.
Oh, my God.
Of course, she doesn't quit. She's got to tough it out. So it is like you pick what could possibly go wrong, and you throw your hands
playing up. Playing through a wrist injury, too. Like, yeah, like, are wrists important in tennis? They sound important in tennis.
It's brutal.
Actually, speaking of which, I might be turning to the golf strategy of blindly fading Jordan Spieth because for some reason he is just determined to make it through this season while he's clearly playing. He brought up like 2-3 months ago him having a wrist injury and he just keeps playing through it. Chatting his way through the whole thing. Kill knows how much it drives me nuts. But like he's really struggling to put together decent rounds at golf right now. And it was, I mean, yesterday everybody went low. And I think he finished over par out of the John Deere Classic, where you had a 59.
The
14th ever I was going to say 14th ever 59, but I don't know that. 14th ever round lower than 60.
How many of those have been first round 59s?
It's a great question.
Because you see the, like, you have to overnight, you see the 59 posted.
Yeah.
That's a little different. 59.
Well, okay, I would guess it's close to half, if not more, because if think about, you're going to have it, you're in all likelihood, it's going to be more that happen early because you have more golfers on the course before the cut. So there's more of a chance for a 59 to occur.
See, I would have said it's a 59 usually from someone who's really not in the lead or close to it who can just play free and just go nuts. But they're already, like, behind.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen too. Yeah.
Hayden Springer, 12 under 59, first round lead of the John Deere Classic. As Kelly said, one of 14 sub-60 rounds in PGA Tour history.
It was pretty incredible. I was watching a ton of it yesterday. It's just so funny when these the sports just lighten up, yeah. Right? Where you're like, I was texting you about. I was watching yeah. So much more golf coverage yesterday than I was planning on doing it. Jonathan Coachman on the call, very entertaining.
Jonathan Coachman on the call. Yeah. Jonathan Coachman back.
It was him and Brendan DeYoung, and they were like, it was just different from your regular golf broadcast, and it was very entertaining. Coachman bringing up first round leader odds.
How long was the Springer putt to get to 59?
Oh man, it's over 10 feet.
It was.
Yeah, it was. And more impressive was on 17, he had this.
Yeah.
Couldn't see the flag basically from the rough chip that you're like, there's no way. If he puts this close, it's an amazing shot and just dunks it.
You're like, right. That was a 59 act of God.
Yes.
You know, I always think about that last putt because it's not only, oh my God, you have to be aware that this is happening, right? Maybe sometimes you're not. Maybe they're so in his own, but he was aware.
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, man, it's a 59. It's for the rest of my days on Earth, I will always be able to say I had a 59.
I mean, one of 14. How many perfect games have been thrown in Major League Baseball?
Yeah. No, it's a great question.
It's like around the same number, right? So, you're putting that in a frame. That's not going anywhere. Are you kidding me? A 59?
24 perfect games in Major League Baseball history.
So less sub-60 rounds in on the PGA Tour. That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Baseball's been going on longer, but...
True. But you got, 162 games a year, 30 teams.
Right.
Yeah. Still, they're both unbelievable. The most wins in the NFL, again, there is no shortage of props you can bet in the National Football League. Fewest wins, remember last year we hit cashed on last winless team, last undefeated team is also available. Odds to...
I bet that, yeah, finally.
Which one?
Yesterday, Patriots, fewest wins, 4-1.
Fewest wins, 4-1.
Yeah. I'm in on that.
How about the odds to have the most wins? The Chiefs are 5-1. I think that's an awful price. Have you seen their schedule?
Yes.
There's no way that's a good number. Chiefs are 5-1. The Ravens are plus 550. These are terrible numbers.
So
on those
you, I'm so glad that this caught your eye immediately as well, because this is
awful.
A market we often bring up no matter what the sport. You and I both say the same thing. We love talking about the fewest wins. The most wins we don't find as interesting as usually, right?
Right.
But this year I'm with you. Like Chiefs, Ravens.
Those are horrible numbers. Those should not be the favorites, the short shots. 49ers are plus 550. Okay, now we can start to talk.
Yes.
Let me just, by the way, just to
be, I don't even know. Like, Lions, I think I even have to throw out.
Don't take my word for it on the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the Ravens, by the way. Just let me read it to you. The Chiefs and the Ravens play each other week one. First game of the NFL season, right? The Chiefs and the Ravens play each other. So one of them's toast right there. In terms of, just starting poorly. So odds to have the most wins, I just don't feel like these schedules are just brutal for a good enough amount of time. I mean, the Chiefs beginning alone and the Ravens start alone are just enough to put them behind the eight ball. If my recommendation on the Chiefs and the Ravens is, if you're thinking about betting the Chiefs specifically, I would wait, till past their bye. They play the Niners October 20th. After that, it opens up. But their first six games are Baltimore, Cincinnati, at Atlanta, at the Chargers, home New Orleans, at San Francisco. I mean, do they take a 3-3 right now? if this market then magically still appears after that, then I would bet them.
I think this is one they usually do repost.
Yes.
Fairly often.
Then I would bet them. I would never bet them at the 5-1 that exists now. The Niners at +550 is probably the appropriate price here. The other one that's interesting is the Falcons at 13-1, right? Because the Falcons do play in the NFC South. And so you have two games against Carolina, and I know some people think they'll be better. I don't, by any significant amount. So the Falcons get the Panthers, they get the Saints, obviously they get the Buccaneers. That's right off the top.
I think they're rolling through that division. So I had to check my notes, Gil. So Falcons and Eagles. I forgot there was actually reasoning behind this for me. I haven't made division bets on them because I'm going to get involved in season, most likely. The Falcons start off with the Steelers at home. Great, yeah. Easy game. But then they're on the road against the Eagles, and then they get the Chiefs.
So I think you wait till after week
You wait till after the Chiefs game.
Yeah, because then it's New Orleans, Tampa. Now I won't even say.
I mean, you get the NFC South.
Home New Orleans, home Tampa, at Carolina, home Seattle, at Tampa, home Dallas, at New Orleans, at Denver. So you even get some of the harder games at home. So I do think that's the thing with
Look
this
how
market.
How easy this schedule is after week three.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's the thing about this market. I think you don't bet this preflop.
Yeah, as attractive as 13-1 is to me, I think you're still likely going to get a better number after week three.
There is a risk in that because obviously if the Falcons somehow go 2-1, then that number crashes on you. But I do think that if you're going to play this with an eye on these two teams, the Falcons and the Chiefs specifically, I think you wait till after week three with the Falcons. I think you wait till after week six or week seven, because they have a bye in there, the game after they play the Niners with the Chiefs. I think that's the optimal way to play this, rather than trying to... I mean, you don't get hero points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get extra hero points for doing it before the season.
I mean, almost, if you're looking at anything Chiefs, I mean, division,
right.
This, anything. It's got to at least start after week three, you would think.
Now, here's the thing with the Chiefs. We always say that, right? They had a gauntlet. Remember, we used the word gauntlet where they had seven games.
Pushbacks are fair. Yes.
It wasn't quite the gauntlet we thought it would be. So, you know, the Chiefs can make you look stupid with that kind of thinking also.
This is kind of like when we talk live betting, though, Gil. You got to be okay. So, like, if I'm talking about waiting on Eagles and Falcons division bets, you got to be okay if the opportunity doesn't present itself.
That's right.
I'm okay with that. You have to be
okay with the train leaving the station. You do. But that would be, for this market, that would be my approach. I would not pre-flop anybody.
Yeah.
But certainly at the top, I would. My goodness, I wouldn't play the Ravens or Chiefs at those prices before the season even starts. We will come back. Jason Weingarten will join us. Everything he's betting. Paul Carr still will join us as well. Give his thoughts on both Copa America and Euros 2024. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. And I want to shout out our Major League Baseball stats as well that are in there. Got a first five analyzer as well. Umpires in there. Umpire over-unders. Everything you need to know about umpires in Major League Baseball. Really good tools to help with your handicapping. In MLB. Tyler Shoemaker on the front page with his WNBA plays. Adam Burke with NFL betting predictions. Nigel Seeley with Euro quarterfinals thoughts. Adam Burke on NASCAR. Adam Burke doing it. And Brent Musburger with his Super Bowl predictions. Super Bowl 59. Can't believe we're at 59 already.
Did you say Adam Burke on NASCAR?
I did. I did say that.
What doesn't he do, Gil?
He does it all. Grant Park 165. NASCAR betting odds and predictions from Adam Burke at VSiN.com.
Let's go.
Check it out. What doesn't he do? Who covers more sports, Felica or Burke?
Oof.
Who handicaps more sports? Felica's in double digits, literally 10 or 11.
That's tough to beat.
That's tough to beat. It's tough to beat. Yeah.
I don't even know if Burke's got West beat. Like, West might be number one.
Oh, West might be number one.
Yeah,
West might be number one. Ladies and gentlemen, I promised that he would be on camera the other day. I lied. But today, no lies. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. What's happening, man? Look at you.
Good morning. How's it going?
This is this cup. What are you drinking there, Jason?
Who are you, Drew Dinsick?
Yeah.
Coffee. out of my Garfield mug.
What, you shaved? What's going on there? What happened?
Oh, it grows back quick. Don't worry. It'll be back.
Oh, no concerns here, Jason. No concerns. Yeah. Your follicles, I respect them very much. Okay. What's the deal in Major League Baseball today? What are you betting?
You believe Paul Skeens has his own betting section on a lot of these websites now, getting all sorts of his own bets every day. You can bet the velocity of Paul Skeens' first pitch today.
Wow.
This is just another example. I keep just saying it so many times this year. The ways to bet baseball have changed so much in the last couple of years. It's confusing to me sometimes. I don't even know where to start when I see, you know, a player with this many markets, and, you know, it's weird. But I'm betting against the Pirates today. Give me the Mets. I got the Mets plus 112 this morning.
Is of those markets with Skeens, is there anything you'd be willing to make a bet on?
I'd rather approach it with the game. You know, I know he's great. He really is, you know, probably one of the top 10, 15 pitchers in baseball already. He's still going to have a bad day every now and then. I'm going to bet against him when I'm getting good numbers on the other side.
Yeah. Point is, you're not one of these people who advocate betting him for Cy Young, for instance.
No, I mean, that's silly. We know he's going to max out around 130, 140 innings, and that would, there's no Cy Young at 140 innings. It's just not happening. Not anytime soon.
We tossed this around yesterday about Triple Crown. You could bet Aaron Judge to win the American League Triple Crown. He's at 5-1. Folks astutely pointed out that Stephen Kwan, he did not have enough at bats to qualify for the leaderboard, but now does and will moving forward. He's in the 360, so that's the bugaboo for Aaron Judge. Shohei Ohtani 9-1. He only leads in homers right now, and in batting average, but barely in batting average. RBIs, he's somewhat far behind. Would you bet on either of those to become the 13th ever Triple Crown winner?
I'd probably pass unless I was getting a very good number. I just want to point out for the record, as good as Aaron Judge is, and I've decided I'm going to no longer sort of fight how good Aaron Judge is. I've just clearly been wrong. But Gunnar Henderson is the number one player in the American League by F-War. So when we're looking at the MVP stuff, does he really deserve to be minus 330? I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that he's Aaron Judge. But Gunnar Henderson actually kind of would maybe deserve the MVP if we were voting. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not going to this person's not going to win the MVP. But I just want to point out that I would throw Bobby Witt Jr. into this conversation. He is so unbelievably good watching him on a night to night basis. Incredible player. Obviously not going to win an MVP. Could win a batting title this year if Kwan comes back to the field. Anything else besides your fade of the Pirates today?
Let's see. I don't think so. I think today was actually kind of a surprisingly slow day. Looks like that's it so far. I have a couple notes. I have a note to look at Baltimore later in the day versus Oakland, and I have a note to look at the Padres later, but I haven't bet either of those yet.
I mentioned this earlier because someone was talking about the Braves have not won a baseball game. This is an amazing stat. And so shout out to the gentleman who tweeted this out. I want to give him credit. Let's see.
John Massey.
John Massey. Thank you, Kelly. John Massey said, Braves haven't won a game since April 17th when the opponent scored 4 runs or more. It's an incredible stat. And I mentioned that the Yankees are 6 games clear of being on the outside looking in. Just 6. The Yankees, who got off to this unbelievable start in baseball, but they're 5-14 in their last 19 games. They're only 6 games clear of being on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. The Atlanta Braves are 5 games clear of being on the outside looking in. If I came to you from the future, Jason, and I said, hey, one of these two teams did not make the playoffs, which was it, the Yankees or the Braves?
Wow. Man, I guess I'd say the Yankees, but can you imagine the Yankees not making the playoffs after all we've talked about them? And wow. Again, it's so crazy how baseball's like that. Like one week you're just ready to declare them the pennant winner, and the next week they can't win a game. Their window, they had that window where Jason Dominguez was ready to come up and he didn't come up, and then Stanton got hurt, and kills regressing. It's an unfortunate when that happens, but we're seeing it. You know, I mean, the window for success is so tight in baseball sometimes that you don't capitalize, and next thing you know, you lose 10 of your next 15 games or whatever the Yankees are doing. But it's still early. We still have a lot of time left this season for anybody to turn things around. I'll throw in another team. If I had to pick one you didn't mention that's not going to make the playoffs, it's going to be the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way about them.
It's not exactly coming out of left field here, but I think the Astros run them down pretty easily before the season's over.
Did the Rangers ever wake up?
I don't know. Have they? Like I said last time, I feel like we just totally forgot they even exist. Like they won the World Series and we're like, yeah, well, who cares? You know, I don't even pay attention to them for the most part, other than having some Langford futures for Rookie of the Year.
If the Orioles or Yankees win the AL East, let's do this division by division. Orioles, Yankees win the AL East. And let's concede the other one gets a wild card, even if it is the Yankees. Guardians win the Central. Astros win the West. Who are the other two wild cards in the American League?
Guardians win the Central. Astros win the West. Wouldn't surprise me if we had a third team come out of the AL East. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it could be the Red Sox. I've seen the Red Sox surprisingly, you know, playing a little better than expected. The Twins, the Royals are not crazy to throw out there. Obviously, the Mariners would also be in consideration. But, you know, it'd be one of the Guardians or the Twins most likely. And then Mariners, Royals, Red Sox, I guess, in that order.
I think the Royals and Red Sox, for me, are the teams to look out for. Let's do the same thing in the National League. If it is the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Dodgers that win the division, who are the other three wild cards? Who gets in the wild card? Who are the three wild cards?
Well, you know, I never like to say anything nice about this team, but I will say the Padres are likely a playoff team. If they get a semi-healthy Fernando Tatis, you know, he's been putting up borderline MVP numbers this season, basically playing on one leg. And you know, I'm always kind of hard on him, but he's actually playing pretty well considering how physically he's holding up. But otherwise, you know, we're going with the Padres probably being a wild card team. Maybe the Mets. I don't know. The crazier things have happened. The Reds, the Giants, Diamondbacks. They're only the World Series, you know, the pennant winner last year.
Point of that question is, of course, it's a free for all. I mean, we're approaching the All-Star break. We're already past the halfway point of the season. There has got to be a make the playoffs bet that's out there right now that exists at a great number that is going to get home. And maybe it is, you know, the Red Sox or Royals in the American League. And maybe there is a even longer shot, a sexier play in the NL because.
I got one in the NL. I'll tell you what the sexy play in the NL is right now.
I'm going to guess it. Cubs.
No, that's not very sexy. I see like 6-1 there. The Washington Nationals, 20-1.
Okay.
That's the biggest number I see. James Wood just called up. Dylan Cruz still waiting in the wings. Jake Irvin, there's a guy we haven't talked about all season. He's like one of the top five pitchers in the National League. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Well. Okay, we're ranking sexiness on the show in terms of Major League Baseball. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Good seeing you on TV.
Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
A little cup of Joe in his hand right there, Jason Weingarten. Beardless.
Looking good.
Beardless. He told me, don't worry about it. It'll grow by the end of the day. It'll be back. By 5 p.m., it should be good. We'll come back. Paul Carr finally on soccer. Let's do it next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter. More informed bets, visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. We got to talk about Coach of the Year at some point next week. It's an interesting market.
Monday.
When
Gil says things like that, I write it down.
Here's what we're going to try to have for next week also. We're going to try to have Cleve T.A. on. He's got his...
I've got so much homework to do.
Rampant football thoughts. Yeah. Right?
Between our finishing our guide and then Cleve T.A.'s guide, yes, which is a must read, too.
Got to read that.
I got a lot of homework to do.
And am I allowed to say what might happen a week from today?
It better happen. It's locked in.
Oh, it is locked in?
Yeah. And it's not a week from today. It's Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Yes. Are we talking about the same thing now?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on this show, the original Jardians woman is on the show. I'm not making that up. The original Jardians woman. Because we want to get to the bottom line of how did she get ousted from the Jardians commercial? First for the other girl, then for this guy now who's singing the song outside.
That's right. Deanna Colon is her name.
Deanna Colon, the original Jardians woman on the show on Wednesday.
There's an accente over the L.
Yeah, she might be related to Colon? Bartolo Colon. That's correct, the sports betting tie-in. If you're looking for a sports betting tie-in, she could be related to the great hamburger Bartolo Colon.
We won't know until we talk to her.
And we won't know until we have her on the show. And then since we have her on, we're just going to talk about Jardians. Cool? Cool.
That is scheduled for 8:15 on Wednesday.
11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific. It must be July. Ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas, he is the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks, where he had an egregious meeting this morning through True Media Networks. It's Paul Carr, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well, Gil. I tell you, the English have no respect for the 4th of July holiday when they schedule meetings.
So that's it. So this is it.
Get over it.
They're still sore about the whole independence thing.
That's right. Yeah, this was spiteful, I think.
Spiteful. 248 years later, like, we'll show them. We'll give them a meeting early next morning.
I love that was the answer, though. I love that. Yes. That's what ended up happening.
Wow. Spiteful people. Okay. Let's begin with, first of all, we got a tweet. And Paul, you said you wanted to say something about this. Before we get into soccer real quick, we got a tweet. This is from Limited Everywhere, who says, I did not even know who that was at first. Talking about Jason Weingarten in the last segment. Did not even know who that was at first. You said you had a story about beards now? What is this?
Yeah, so I mean, when I met my wife and got married, I had a goatee. And then 5 years into our marriage, I decided I was going to shave it.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of not telling her first.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, bad job. So I want to walk out of the bathroom, and she just kind of yelps. And was not pleased at all. And
yelps.
I have not been clean shaven since.
And by yelps, you mean didn't write a bad review about you, just yelped.
Correct.
Right.
She would have if that were a thing. Yes. A dozen years ago,
I'd like to write a bad review about my husband. Has there ever been a dude that looked better without facial hair? I think the answer is no. I think it's a null set.
Yeah, I think once you hit some certain age, over like 60 or something, not in recent years.
It is very difficult to go from beard to no beard and it not look odd.
Bro, if you walked in here without your beard and mustache, I would yelp as well.
I'd have to quit. There's no way I could continue to be on the air.
I would write a poor Yelp review about you.
People would not be able to get over it.
All right, before we get to the Euros, which is stacked today, just absolutely stacked. Did you watch Argentina and Ecuador last night? That was pretty unbelievable.
In and out while watching fireworks as well. And South America tournaments games are it's kind of a different animal than Euros. It's kind of more of a street fight, I guess, for lack of a better term, than a little more polished. You know, it's not better one way or the other. It's just different. And there's so much drama and melodrama that it's hard to turn away from because stuff is always happening.
By the way, as much as this is not from a soccer guy, what's about to come, but as much as I hate penalty kicks to decide a 90-minute a 100, 120-minute goes into added time or extra time soccer match. Yeah. I actually kind of dig just going right to the penalty kicks after the 90.
I feel like, look, you had your 90 minutes to figure it out. And, I mean, the percentage of times that anything changes in extra time is pretty low. Especially in early rounds, like, sure, just go straight to penalties. And they're the best worst thing. Because there's pure drama, even though it feels wrong.
I completely agree. It's like when we decide basketball games on free throws coming. You know, that'd be the equivalent. Right. Well, let's have a free throw contest. Who wins Copa America, in your opinion?
I mean, I've been on Argentina since the beginning. They're the best team. I don't have any real reason to go otherwise. I mean, I think Uruguay and Colombia have been both really good, but they and Brazil are all on the other half of the bracket, so good luck trying to pick one of those three.
All right, great games today in the Euros. I mean, this is – it doesn't get better than this. You go ahead. You start wherever you want.
We'll start with the big one. I mean, this – if you told me this was a final, everyone would be totally happy, but we knew this was probably going to happen in the quarters. It's Spain and Germany, arguably the two best teams at the tournament so far. I have no strong feeling on a side here, and you can see from the lines, you know, it's basically dead even as far as who's going to win or advance. But I do think we're going to have goals. Both teams, they're 1-2 in the tournament in goals scored. Both have tons of attacking talent and different kinds of questions defensively. You know, I'm not sure how Spain's center backs will hold up. Germany's wings are okay, but that's where Spain's strength lies in attacking. So, and I think once we get one goal, this should just open up. So, you know, Spain scores, then Germany's on, whichever team is on the attack after having to go get a goal, the other one's just going to live in counterattack land, which they'll be very happy with. So I think we get goals in this. I like the over 2.5, which you can still get at even money.
Even money. And then you do have an opinion. You and Felica are aligned on the France-Portugal one.
France is weird. I mean, I would still take them to win the tournament if I'm just picking, ignoring spreads or lines right now. Even though they haven't scored, they haven't put the ball in the net from open play themselves. They have 3 goals, 1's a penalty, and 2 are own goals. But they have over 6 expected goals. You know, things just aren't going in for France right now. And they have the best defense in the tournament. They're giving up very few shots, the fewest expected goals. So that's what I rely on more than anything. I mean, Portugal has tons of attacking talent, but France shut down Belgium, which has good attackers as well. So I just think France will shut them down. They will find a goal one way or the other. This is kind of where their coach Didier Deschamps tend to start unleashing the attack just a little bit, you know, just enough to get a goal or two. So this is really just, I believe in France. Their defense is the best unit on the field, maybe in the tournament. So I think they win this one outright, win this in regulation at plus 140.
All right, Spain, Germany, over 2.5 goals. France plus 140, shop around for the best number, outright versus Portugal. Then tomorrow, a couple other quarters, Switzerland and England. What do you got there?
Man, this England team, I think I've said this on the show, like they may not be any good and still get to the final.
Yeah.
You know, part of that is the bracket is breaking their way. But I mean, you lost to Slovakia the game. They created almost nothing until the very end, when they got the goal, and then they got a quick one in extra time as well. So, like, despite all their offensive talent, they just haven't figured things out. One of their best center backs, Mark Gahey, is injured for this. He's played every minute of the tournament, so that's a problem. They talk about they may shift the lineup and the formation quite a bit. So they're still searching, even though they're the betting favorite and have gotten this far. Switzerland is basically the opposite. They've looked really good. They don't have the big-name stars that England has, but everyone seems to know their role. This is kind of your classic, I don't know, mid-major type of team in college basketball where they're a 5-6 seed, but you just watch them. You can tell they just know what they're doing, and they can execute that so perfectly. And that's what they've done the whole tournament. They've got 7 different guys who have scored for them, so they're doing it lots of different ways. So I like Switzerland to advance, getting plus money on this, plus 130. I'm trying to find the price that I got it at here. Plus 140 is still out there for Switzerland to advance. So this is, again, this whether it's regulation, extra time, penalties, I like Switzerland here given that price.
However they get through.
Another one where Mr. Felica and Mr. Carr match.
Yeah, matching away. Today's two matches feel like they could be finals, and tomorrow's are like sort of the undercard. With apologies to the Dutch, who take on Turkey tomorrow.
The Dutch are looking pretty good. They've kind of been growing into this tournament where they look a little bit better. Even their loss to Austria, you know, they had plenty of chances, and Austria probably just ran a little bit hot and finished everything. This play is really more about Turkey. I mean, their defense is not good. It's been the second worst of the tournament, and the only one really worse was Georgia. So they're just giving up goals everywhere. Not a lot of scoring chances they have themselves, only 6 shots in the round of 16. And the Dutch are just kind of methodical. They will get it done. They will put on the goal or two late to pad the lead, et cetera. So I like over 2.5 in this one at minus 130. So it's juiced a little bit, but again, bad defense. Kind of a ruthless, or maybe not ruthless, but efficient offense, we'll call it, so far, is what we're going to get here. So I lean toward the Dutch, but I played the over 2.5 at minus 130.
All right, Spain, Germany, over 2.5 goals today. France to beat Portugal. Switzerland tomorrow to advance any which way. Netherlands, Turkey, another over on the total, over 2.5, laying a little bit of juice tomorrow. Paul, enjoy all the games. Glad you got through your meeting, man.
Glad I survived. On to the fun stuff.
On to the fun stuff. Paul Carr, everybody. Kelly and I have done all we can do. Gojo and Golic next on the radio side. Best bets on the TV side. It's Visa, the sports betting network. Enjoy.